Hello everybody, this is English for You, and a very warm welcome to the program. In the studio today I'll have my Fosdeco students, long time no see. Gotha, how are you doing?
I'm fine, thank you.
Sobuch, how's it hanging?
Thank you, I feel relaxed.
Okay, that's good.
I wasn't that cool today.
So you are okay, you feel relaxed. Victoria, what's up?
Everything's great, but I've been to school.
Okay. Except for that.
Yeah.
How are you,
Victoria? I'm fine, thank you.
Good. Mikey?
Hi, Victor. How are you?
Fine, thanks. I have my students here, so I'm doing okay. And today's special guest is Mr. Larry Olomou from Great Britain. And Larry is a lecturer at ELTE Budapest and also for Pécs University. And he's interested in social science, which is basically the study of people in society. But what I'm really interested in now, Larry, is it's going to be a picture of a young boy with a fantastic broad smile. What's behind that smile?
God knows. I guess I was just happy to be out in the garden for once as opposed to somewhere else.
Where was it taken exactly?
That is the back garden to my family home in London. And if I recollect, it's been such a long time ago, we were actually cleaning the garden, we just moved in.
Right. How were you doing at school? How were you getting on at school?
And then, I was seven, so, I mean, I guess I was just like any other seven-year-old, but school was fine at the time.
Mm-hmm. Right. What about the neighborhood?
The neighborhood. I guess, at the time, it didn't have the reputation it has today. It was still what we call an inner city, which was a lower-class neighborhood, basically.
Right. And later, what were your ambitions at school?
At school, I had to play football.
Playing football?
Playing football.
So that was the real ambition?
That was the real ambition,
good.
Yeah.
The next step in your life, and I'm going to show it with the help of a map, is a very different country, and it's... Would you say the name of the country?
Nigeria.
And it's called the number...
32.
Number 32. So this huge country with a lot of people.
Yeah.
What did you do in Nigeria?
Actually, I went to Nigeria to finish my education. I went there when I was 13. And I went to boarding school, ironically, a very English Catholic boarding school.
So you went to an English Catholic boarding school in Nigeria.
Yes.
Back in London, the school was not very good.
No, it wasn't.
But in Nigeria, you got a real British education.
That's right, yes.
It's a sort of irony, isn't it?
Hence, I say it's a funny situation, yes.
Right. Okay, fine. And the next step is going to be a photograph, but now I'm going to turn to you kids. And I want Saborj. You haven't been to school today, so you worked a little. So would you again, the same broad smile?
Yes, I think it's the same person as he met before. He wears a very special costume. Maybe he's a graduate, or I don't know, maybe he's a priest or something. And it's a black and white photo. There are a couple of men in the background, they are walking on this pavement, and this man in the foreground looks very happy.
Right. Priest?
Not quite.
So what is it? The graduation was correct, right?
Graduation
was correct. So what is it?
Actually, that was just before my graduation at Cambridge, where I studied social and political sciences. And I was walking towards the Senate building when I was actually quite stressed. You can't tell from that photograph. I guess that's a nervous reaction to stress, is that I smile. So if I'm smiling a lot, then you know I'm stressed. But anyway, I was about to go and get my degree, my BA at the time.
Right, and what is this fantastic robe or cloak? What would you call it?
Actually, there are two, in a sense, people could say a clash of cultures there, because the big, long, dark robe is a traditional African cloth that you wear, that men wear for special occasions. And they tend to be ethnically inscribed. And if you know the codes, I don't particularly understand it properly, but that's for the Yoruba. The little gown is my graduation gown. Well, actually, it's my gown. I had to wear it certain times throughout my time at Cambridge. But what makes it different today is that on the shoulders, you can see some white vermin, which is fur. And anyone you see in the Cambridge system who has that fur indicates that they're BA students, and they've qualified for the BA.
Bachelor of Arts.
Bachelor of Arts.
Right, so a Cambridge graduate, but basically the basic interest is human rights. Am I right with this?
Well, yes.
Human rights. What do these two words mean to you? Kota, human rights.
Well, this means some basic rights like freedom and like happiness. And this thing called human rights appeared first in the 18th century, and it violated through the 20th century, and there were a lot of conflicts around this. And I think first it was in the independence something of the USA, and then
revolution,
yeah. And then the French, in the French Revolution, it was a very main thing, so.
Yes, thank you very much. Moti, human rights to you.
I agree with Kata because it's basically, it's a very important, the most important basic rights in my life.
But what do you think it involves, Soboj? Freedom for?
For independent behavior or doing anything what you like.
Right. Would you like to add anything to it, Victoria? Victor, please.
I think you can exercise your rights until you break the law. So.
Right. Larry, would you like to add anything to it, some basic things about human rights?
Generally, the tone is correct. It is about freedom, certain inalienable freedoms and rights that we have as human beings. The provision is the law, to a certain extent, that you're free to act within the law. So you should be free from oppression, free to associate with other people. You shouldn't be discriminated against. You should have tolerance and be free of prejudices, whatever that prejudice would be.
Thank you very much, because I've got these words. We haven't talked about it, believe it or not, in this depth. So would you please choose one word? Well.
Thank you.
I'm violating your human rights. Right. So we have those five words here. Larry, would you read them out, please?
Discrimination, intolerance, ethnocentrism, violence, and prejudice.
I'm going to read out the definitions. And if you've got the word, would you please put up your hand? An unreasonable dislike and distrust of people who are different from you in some way.
It could be prejudice.
It is. Prejudice. Do you have a Hungarian word for this?
Előítélet.
Excellent. Well, I mean, the word is excellent. Behavior that is intended to hurt other people.
I think it's violence.
Hungarian?
Erőszak.
Good. Treating one particular group in society in an unfair way. A group like women or elderly people, or
it's discrimination.
Yes. What's the Hungarian word? Yeah. Only sometimes use discriminatio, right? Good. Unwillingness to let other people act or think in a different way from you. Not to let other people act or think differently.
I think it's intolerance.
Yes. In Hungarian.
Tolerancia hiány.
Yeah. Intolerancia. Türelmetlenség. But that's not the best word for this. The last one, the idea, the belief that your own group, nation, is better than any other.
I think it's ethnocentrism.
Hungarian word for this?
Nationalismus.
Nationalismus, ethnocentrismus. We don't really have a Hungarian word for this, and this is the time I'm turning to Larry. Is there a difference? I mean, do you see any difference between racism and ethnocentrism?
Yeah, I do. I see a fundamental difference. If you check out the premise for racism, race is at the center of this ideology or this belief. And basically, if you think about race, the construct of race as a biological construct or a sociological one, it suggests that particular groups of people are superior than others based upon some racial superiority. Under such a definition, you wouldn't be able to include certain ethnocentric actions. So this region over the last 10 years has been blighted by the problem of ethnic cleansing, which is a form of ethnocentrism. But if you use racism to describe it, it wouldn't make any sense, because the people perperpetrating the act against themselves are of the same race.
Yeah, I've read somewhere that there are basically five races.
Yes.
I really don't know if it's true or not. White,
yes.
Black,
yes.
Brown,
yes.
Malay people, yes. Red, yes. Indians in America, and yellow people, Oriental people. So they are the five races. So how come there's racism in Europe? It can't be because we are from the same race, basically. So, for example, when Serbians kill Bosnians, this is not racism, because they belong to the same race. It's ethnocentrism, so it's a different story. Yeah. It's a foolish thing, the whole thing, but
it is.
Okay.
It is.
Let's have a move forward a little bit. Larry used to be a DJ, not only a football player, but a DJ in a London disco, DJ club.
A few clubs, but essentially it was a group of friends, so we went from place to place.
Right. And this is one of his favorite songs, I believe, he used to play in the club.
I would actually say it's my favorite song.
It's his favorite song. And I've already given out the words for this, but you don't know anything about the words, just that they are the words for a song. But for our viewers, I think it's very important that you get familiar with the words. So Larry, would you be so kind as to read out the words?
Whoop, whoop, that's the sound of the police. Whoop, whoop, that's the sound of the beast. Now here's a little truth. Open up your eyes. When you're checking out the boom bap, check the exercise. Take the word overseer like a sample. Repeat it very quickly in a crew for example. Overseer, 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 officer, officer, officer. Yeah, officer from overseer. You need a little clarity. Check the similarity. The overseer rode around the plantation. The officer is on patrol in other nation. The overseer could stop you what you're doing. The officer would pull you over just when he's pursuing. The overseer had the right to get ill, and if you fought back, the overseer had the right to kill. The officer has the right to arrest, and if you fight back, they put a hole in your chest. Whoop, we both ride horses. After 400 years, I've got no choices. The police, them, have a little gun. So when I'm on the streets, I walk around with a bigger one. Whoop, whoop, I hear it all day. Just so they can run the light and be up on their way. Yes, indeed, yes, indeed. Whoop, whoop, that's the sound of the police. Whoop, whoop, that's the sound of the beast.
Thank you very much. First, I think we have to mention these two words to understand this poem, overseer and officer. What's an overseer? Has anybody checked this in the dictionary? Victor, please.
He controls the work on plantations, so he controls the work of slaves.
Of slaves, and basically he must have been white.
Yes.
And what's an officer?
It's a policeman, I think.
Absolutely right. Victoria, would you like to talk about this poem, the context? Is there a place you can connect this poem to?
Yes, when I first read it, I thought it must be sung because of the contrast between the overseer and the officer. And because of the whole thing, it's about, it must be sung by an Afro-American, someone who feels he or she or they haven't been treated in the right way. And it's quite sad because if you just look at it, the overseer had the right to get ill. It's something that anybody can get ill, and still the other people didn't have the right to get ill like him, but he also had the right to kill, and that's something perfectly unright, and you just cannot take another person's life because it's human right.
Yeah, and what are the two things that run parallel in this poem?
Officer and the overseer, and one is from the past and one is from here, our days, and it's kind
Someone
of, it hasn't
to say
stopped.
Something. Thank
yes,
you very
much. Just the same. So the officer and overseer parallel.
Right. Much
it's
please?
About that the overseers and the officers has have rights only, and you haven't got any.
Uh-huh. So, yeah, there are the two
yeah.
poles here. Right. Thank you very much. I think we're going to see something here, and over to you, Larry. What's happening in the picture?
This video, when it was released, actually caused a great storm in America. What you see are the police carrying out their duties of apprehension in Los Angeles.
Arresting.
The victim or the perpetrator is Rodney King. And this is an amateur video which was shot without the police knowing. But this video, when it was released, in a sense, highlighted police discrimination towards black people. Rodney King is a black man, by the way, and all the officers are white.
And he was stopped, he was pulled over by the police, and it's an amateur video, so the police didn't know they were being filmed. And I think it's pretty violent. And then it was shown on television. But this is step one. Step two, and it's going to be a photograph here, a still picture, and I would like Kota, would you like to talk about that picture?
Well, I think it might be a riot somewhere, because these are like policemen or a brigade who is to stop people fighting or something, and they are wearing masks, or I don't know how to call it, and they are holding something in their hands to
protect themselves. Yes, you're absolutely right. This was a riot, and this was a riot police. And do you think that this video triggered the Los Angeles riot, or something happened before that?
The video was the beginning of the process, actually. What you have with the video was people becoming aware of this discriminatory practice by the police in Los Angeles, which many black kids used to talk about before, but no one believed them. So this brought it to people's attention, the public attention. There was a trial of these police officers subsequently, and they were found not guilty. And so people, in a sense, came out to protest against the verdict, because they felt it was another form of injustice. And through this protest, it degenerated into a riot, which was quite terrible at the time. It was in 1992.
You remember this riot? I mean, you remember watching it on television?
I remember watching it on television.
And how did you feel about that?
I felt, in fact, actually, I was ambivalent, because this, in a sense, was a way of expressing this anger, which had been kept under for so long. But at the same time, this form of protest, in a sense, was detrimental, because the community they were destroying were their very own. But what is interesting about this riot is that, despite all of the origins of the riot, what they remember from it was a scene where a white guy was being attacked by two black guys, and a brick was thrown at him, and it was used to reinforce the racist stereotypes at the time.
Right, so a riot when people break into stores and loot and
disorder,
set cars
civil
to
disorder,
fire and
yeah.
things like this, but deep down below, that was righteous anger,
yes,
I believe.
Yes.
So you felt a little bit ambivalent.
Yes.
Right. All right. So I think this is high time we listen to the song, and we've been analyzing the words, and we've seen pictures. Now, how do you imagine the song? What style do you imagine?
It's rap. It must be rap.
How do you know this?
No, you asked him to read out the words, but he couldn't help acting it out, like
you couldn't have rapping.
Yeah, I think in a way it wasn't really actual, but I think must have been.
All right, so let's listen to the song, and I wonder if the song meets your expectation. Okay, so shall we have the song?
I walk around with a
So was it a very popular sound around London too?
Oh, it certainly was. When I DJed, that was my signature tune actually. And
everybody went whoop whoop.
Of course, because it's so easy to catch it, to follow. So it worked on different levels. People could sing along with the whoop whoop if they wanted to get involved, or they could just listen to the lyrics.
Right. Okay. So how about the song? Did it meet your expectations? Was it the thing you were expecting, basically? Right. Okay. And we're going to see the cover of this. No, first, this is your business card, right? And you're a program coordinator for CEP. What does that mean?
That's a civic education project.
What have you been doing there?
I've been coordinating this program called the Multicultural Community Development Program for the past 2 years, which is a program around human rights training in refugee reception centers in Hungary.
Refugee camps in Hungary?
Yes.
Okay. Have you ever seen refugee camps on television, guys? If I think of a refugee camp, I have Afghanistan and other faraway countries. Do you have a picture of a Hungarian refugee camp in mind? Do you? Yes? Not really. So it's a strange thing that we see refugee camps all over the world, and we don't really see refugee camps in Hungary, but there are refugee camps.
Oh, yes, they are.
And you help the people working there, how to treat other people?
Yes.
Tolerance and...
Well, in the sense they are tolerant, but we just give them new methodologies in a way of just communicating and dealing with this particular...
Right. Issue. Another acronym, I wonder if you know what it stands for. I don't think so. So what does it stand for, Larry?
This is the European Roma Rights Center.
European Roma Rights Center. And you're going to work for this?
Yes, I am.
What motivates you to work for the Hungarian Roma Rights Center? I must ask this question.
Well, if you look at my history, I've been involved to a certain extent with discrimination based on race and also with ethnocentrism. And so this seems to be a natural progression because I'm interested in trying to build bridges and also to inform people. And one of the things that drives me in this way is to deal with the prejudices.
So you identify with Roma somehow.
Yes, yes.
Have you ever been treated differently in my country, in Hungary, because of your color?
Yes, I have. I won't go into all of them, but I have three particular forms of interpretation where people use racist stereotypes to identify me.
Can you give an example?
I'll give you the more benign, which is when people come up to me and start try to stroke my hair because they think...
Women?
Women, two
it's
old
not
men.
Not that bad. okay, just...
I know. Yeah. But, I mean, so in a sense, I call this benign racism because in a sense, they see me as an object, but they feel that they can deny me the right of the duty of asking
right.
me formally whether they could do so or not.
Well, but there are more violent...
There are more violent forms. I get called nigger. I was called nigger a few times in the...
And you were ready for a fight?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Cause modernity. That's what you are lecturing on, basically. So do you think that this thing, our future, will do away racism? Will do away with racism?
I don't actually think we can do away with racism. Cause modernity would be... It's my particular project term, but it will be basically the framework within which these whole issues of diversity, cosmopolitanism, tolerance, and anti-discrimination can be considered properly by giving us newer strategies of dealing with issues and actually appreciating that modern society is moving towards a more cosmopolitan reality.
Cosmopolitan modern world. So lots of people living together.
Yeah.
I hope that it will do away with racism. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks, it's been my pleasure.
I think, to me, it's been really interesting learning lots about human rights. So next time it's going to be again English for you. Goodbye for now.
Létezik egy világ, ahová bárki beléphet.
Király!
Ahol kitárul előtted a nagyvilág. Ahol az álmaid valóra válhatnak. Ahol új barátokra lehetsz.
Lisa Atwood.
Az új diák. ahol nagyokat nevethetsz.
Ez nem valami brikvisztőztes.
Ahol minden nap egy új kaland.
Nekem tetszik az ötlet.
És minden történet egy új kezdet.
Sziasztok!
Megújultunk. Vadonatúj sikersorozatok, örök klasszikusok, 18 alatt, március 19-től az M2.